Welcome to Reclaiming the Republic. This show is sponsored by ReclaimingTheRepublic.org. I am G.R. Mobley. This is an educational grassroots program focused on uniting and leading in restoring the Republic and placing the federal government back into the scope and framework of the Constitution once again. You know, I want to tell you, welcome back, and it's now or never. And, you know, there's many ways I can go through this, and it seemed like yesterday I was really hinged and went through a long dissertation regarding it's now or never and a lot of details of enlightenment and subjugation, why it was so important to start challenging what we're being told. And this is so important because we are being told lies in every direction. And when you're sitting in front of patriot organizations with people talking to you about history, I'm telling you, some of the stuff that they're telling you is not accurate. They're looking at and they're not seeing the paradigm of what the framers have done and what they created. They truly did abolish the British law and British government here in America, so that when they reinstituted it and they tried to obscure all of the facts and so forth, when they started abolishing common law, when they started perverting our government in the 1800s, all of that was done unconstitutionally. And so, you know, the kryptonite that we have in the people telling these lies is really clear. It's really easy, folks. Ask them to show how the powers that were taken, the powers that were assumed, the fact that they did this, they did that, where was that power for them to do that granted in the Constitution? Now, I can give you some examples. Where in the Constitution does the general government have the powers to create a treaty, to create a permanent alliance and subjugate the United States to another government entity like the United Nations, or to create the League of Nations and for us to adjoin to that to be subjugated by another polity, to where we would fall under the laws of that polity? See, they can create a treaty regarding those delegated powers, like in trade and some things like that. But if the power that they're basically putting upon, you know, with the power that they're taking to put us under some other foreign polity, they don't have that power. That power was never granted. And so one of the most important lessons that I think, you know, really helps you differentiate away from thinking like everybody else thinks is that we have an enumerated constitution, that there were no general powers delegated. There were no general powers granted in that constitution. This is really, really important. I mean, I spent the whole day yesterday, and I apologize if you felt like I was just preaching, but it's important that we stop accepting everything that we're being told. I expect you to challenge what I'm telling you, which is more to the reason why I actually read what Madison said. Not, I don't interpret it, and I don't tell you what he was saying. I do tell you what he was saying as I read what he actually says, and I show you what they really meant. As I correlate all of the stuff, I'm doing everything I possibly can to help you come to the knowledge of the truth, because it is the truth that will actually help us develop, you know, a unification on the Constitution. You know, the Constitution was inspired by the divine hand of providence. And there are way too many people that are in the patriot movement that are saying disparaging concepts about this Constitution, the Constitutional Convention, and so forth. This is why I take personal offense when I hear the John Birch Society tell me that the Constitutional Convention of 1787 was a runaway convention, that they were out of scope. And I go, these guys are talking out their mouths sideways. They're speaking with a forked tongue. They want you to believe, oh, we got to follow the Constitution, but it was illegitimate. Because bottom line, if they're right, it is illegitimate, and they're not right. And the fact of the matter is that this problem that they're trying to inject into this time and day, and why is this important? Because it's that time of year where the convention of states is debated very aggressively. Because in the legislative sessions, there is a large movement of and I'll call them, lobbyists that are working in your state to get your state to write them a blank check, to give them the ability to call a convention so that they can actually do more damage to our Constitution. The last thing we need is we need people to actually go into a private room and then come up with solutions. It's absolutely a waste of time. And as a matter of fact, anything and everything the Convention of States does must be questioned and rejected, period. Because if it can't be discussed in an open forum, because you got to remember that when they went into the Constitutional Convention, they were all criticizing, and they actually had a series of amendments that they really wanted to inject into the Articles of Confederation, because there were so many parts of it that were problematic as they were trying to kick the tires on it. This is why when they went in, and folks, the Articles of Confederation got ratified by the states, 1784, something like that. 1782 drafted, 83 finalized, and they formed this new, whatever the Articles of Confederation did. But, I mean, it was, 4 or 5 years in the making and in practice before they got to a point where they said, we've got to get rid of this. We cannot function. We are going to fall apart, and we're going to be fractionalized, and Britain is going to come in with Spain and France, and they're just going to basically divide us and conquer us. So the concept, and I don't want to undermine the concept of the importance of unity. I think in many ways the framers made mistakes on putting unity and the Union, you know, as paramount over all things such as slavery. I believe that the three southern states, they should have been let go. They should have been told, go ahead and go, you'll be back. Because Spain and Britain and France are going to be working on you to basically try to divide and conquer you. But we want to move forward with, you know, on the high road, that we are not hypocrites to our Declaration of Independence. Because bottom line, if we can come up with the concept that we're hypocritical by saying all men are created equal but having slavery, then everybody else is going to come back and make us eat those words. But they didn't do that. What they did was they said, you know, the union, having the full union is far more important than, you know, getting rid of slavery. And that was a huge, huge political compromise. It was a huge mistake. And, you know, it took us a long time and a lot of bloodshed to overcome that. But there were lots of other things in play that kind of kept us from, you know, being able to, you know, advance as a society. Even though we were enlightened, there were still some things we had a hard time as a nation shedding. But we today need to start looking at what the real truth is. We have a new government under this Constitution that still has a very legitimate framework that has not been destroyed. That Constitution and that framework that was established by the framers still exists. It is only being occupied, and I don't know if you've ever seen, you know, and I guess I could try to create this metaphor that we have the framework all in place, but it's like a bunch of gypsies came in and set up camp, and next thing you know, we've got goats, and we've got all sorts of things running amok, and we're going, what has this got to do with anything? They have completely perverted and subverted the progressives, those who want to move us away from enlightenment. And here's the interesting thing. As they grew government to do more and more and more, why did they do that? To control us. Instead of living within the boundaries and the confinement to say a large central government is a very evil thing. And the framers warned us of this. They created a system that didn't allow this. And the system still today, as it stands, still doesn't allow it. It's just that we're allowing the facade to continue. So when you go sit in a room and you hear people tell you that you have to invoke British law to be able to break away. So one of the things I want to do, and I'm hoping to do this week, is to actually start talking to people that are, you know, telling you to disengage. You know, to give up. You don't need a driver's license. You don't need the citizenship or whatever it is that they're telling you to getting you to become a part of their assembly, to become a part of their committee of safety, to become a part of this new, and I'll call it a shadow government, to basically isolate yourself away from the United States and the Constitution for the United States. When I say the Constitution for the United States, I'm talking about the organic constitution, not the living constitution, the annotated constitution. The federal government has that. They have no authority to have that. See, this is why challenging everything is important. This is why we have to actually turn our backs on, you know, what we're being told and actually look at what the truth is and say that has nothing to do with the truth. Or 80% of what you're telling me is all based on lies. There's only 20% of what you're telling me that's truthful. This has been a very big problem, and I've been working with Paul Venable and many others and trying to, you know, get our arms around this, because we have to stop this progressive evil that is dividing us and destroying us in the patriotic ranks. We'll be right back after these two promos.
Folks, as you know, online fraud is on the rise, and it's more important than ever for your new and existing customers to be able to determine whether they are using a website with a secured connection. If you didn't know, Google mandated in 2017 that all data submitted to its linked websites must be secure with SSL certificates. Without SSL certificates, your site is listed by Google as not secure. In other words, without these certificates, your site will be harder to find, and this will impact new traffic and ultimately your revenue. Whether you're a blogger or in e-commerce, AdLocal will help protect your website from all forms of data breaches, phishing scams, and build a secure environment for your businesses, big or small. Contact AdLocal by calling 866-88-ADLOCAL. Or visit them on the web at www.adlocal.com for custom pricing.
If you've listened to my show, Reclaiming the Republic, then you should understand that the Constitution is neither a living document nor a noble guide to governance. In accordance to Article 7, the Constitution is a hard, fast contract, and the states are the only stakeholders in this contract. Integral in contract law, the stakeholders or states possess the inherent authority to exercise oversight and enforcement over their contract. This means they can audit the federal government by the contract, and with republic review, they can enforce compliance to their constitution. Any single state can perform the audit, but when states begin to unite in the auditing process, this is what is referred to as republic review. Please read my argument for republic review, as well as my description of the republic review model on reclaimingtherepublic.org. We even have a graphic flowchart that shows you how republic review works. If you want to learn more, contact me on Facebook or send me an email. Thank you.
Friends, if you have any questions or comments, we have our 24-hour comment line at 425-270-5416.
Okay, folks, so I'm not trying to take away somebody making money, but when somebody is getting people to do things that are actually harmful to them, and they're destroying, because they're fractionalizing this patriotic U.S. citizen movement, that we, this constitutional campaign that we so desperately need. If we don't stand up as the citizens and demand our rights, just like they did with the Magna Carta, just like they did in the Glorious Revolution in Britain to get their Bill of Rights in Britain in the 1600s. It was 1680s. Just like the American Revolution and just like the Constitutional Convention. See, the difference between the Magna Carta,
The difference between the Magna Carta and the Glorious Revolution and the American Revolution was that was a point where the people had to rise up and they had to use deadly force and people died. So when we had our Constitutional Convention, this was a rising up of political leaders that said, there is a problem that we're going to head down this path and we're going to be splintered and destroyed. So the time that we actually made an injection in change, it was done because of enlightenment. It wasn't done because of force, because we had to do these things. We declared our independence because we were being compelled by tyranny. The same thing with the Glorious Revolution, and it's the same thing with the Magna Carta. As powers grow and they start taking more and more of your power, you finally get to a point where you have to rise up and revolt. We gave, through enlightenment, we gave the consideration of the next step instead of using a revolution. What we're seeing today is a revolution, and it is a revolutionary change. Obama was very clear. He wants to fundamentally transform America into a communist state, and he has been very successful in doing that. They're doing this more and more, but the problem is we don't have to accept it. None of this stuff is done legitimately. None of it. They never had the power to do what they did. We can take it all back. I can prove that they never had the power to do what they did. The first lesson that proves this, that you, if you haven't watched the video, and I'm telling you, most people that listen to my show, you haven't watched this video. You have not watched the three presidential vetoes of the Department of Transportation. You need to go to our YouTube channel, Reclaiming the Republic, and look for the three presidential vetoes of DOT, of the Department of Transportation. And watch that video, and you'll see how the framers basically said they don't have the power in the Constitution to create the Department of Transportation. So what makes you think they have the power to create an alliance with the UN? What makes you think they have the power to create the Department of Energy, the Department of Health and Human Services? And on and on and on. So my friends, when you hear patriots saying that we have to basically completely reject the system that we have, no, they're lying to you because they don't know the truth. Now, whether they're deliberately lying because there's something in it for them or whether they're just plain ignorant is something we have to settle. And so I actually have to go through, because I've ran into this, and the reason why I work with Bob Schultz, the reason why I work with Mark Lerner of the Constitutional Alliance, the reason why I work with Doug Gibbs of the Constitution Association, the reason why I work with John Durash of the National Liberty Alliance, Bob Schultz of the We the People Foundation, and legislatures and so forth, the reason why I work with all of these people is that we have come to an agreement that the federal government and the things that the government is doing has all been based on illegitimacy. They don't have the legitimate powers to do the things that they're doing. You know, even though before they did accept these concepts that, you know, they were legitimate, as I've proven to them, I didn't shift their paradigm. I only broadened it just a little bit to help them fathom the importance of understanding an enumerated constitution. I help them fathom this concept that in America, no general powers are ever delegated. And when we've done this at the state level, we've made big mistakes. And this is why we have to clean up the states. We have to get into the counties and do all of this. But it all starts with trying to understand what the enumerated powers are. The biggest awakening in society comes when it starts auditing its contract. The biggest society that comes in a person's life is when they start auditing their obligations to God and whether they're living those things or not and what they're doing. So in other words, you have to audit yourself. You have to audit whether you're living the law, whether you're doing those things that you need to do. And it's the same thing with our government. We have to audit our government to say, are they living the law? We created the law, and we've confined them to very specific powers, roles, responsibilities, and even property. Are they living the law? And that's the beauty of an audit. I believe that's the whole point of a judgment day, right? You know, when the federal government comes and and unconstitutionally, the IRS, now it doesn't mean that they can't tax. It doesn't mean we shouldn't be paying taxes. But the fact that they have an IRS is something that is not within their power. They don't have the ability to actually come and enforce upon the people the, you know, these tax laws. The agency that's supposed to do this is, because that's what they did when they set up within the state's militias and or agents that would work with the local enforcement. And who in the Constitution has local enforcement? The sheriff and the militia, when people are paying their taxes or not. But they created this huge monstrosity of accounting and so forth to hold us accountable, to control us. And they don't have the authority because it was all done outside. I mean, maybe we should give them the amendment. I say not. I say we get the federal government back into the knickers and that this whole transfer of tax accounting moves to the state and the counties. Maybe the state should have the IRS power. But be careful. Whenever you centralize power, tyranny comes. And that's why we want to make sure we only give them enough power and enough energy to do what they need to do. But clearly, government needs taxes. I keep telling people, you know, anybody that's bought into this liberal lie that taxation is theft, but they, you know, we all acknowledge we need government. Those two statements don't jive, because government, the only way government can survive is through some form of taxation. It needs taxation. It doesn't, nothing in life is free. It violates the economic principles and economic laws when you say government should be free. There has to be taxation. And so we have to look at what does government need for its taxation. And this is why, you know, just by going down these logical paths of arguing, okay, does government need to do this, or do they have the power to do this? See, it's not about whether they need to do something. In America, it is, did we delegate that power? If we did, we need to take it back because we really didn't understand what we were doing. And we have the power to do that in America. You know, the fact of the matter is, though, when an entity assumes power, it doesn't like unleashing that power. But when we start explaining that the power being granted and being taken is by us ourselves, because we're a self-government, and government says, well, we don't accept being a self-government anymore. We want to maintain our control. That is when we start realizing how the people in government have become corrupt and or, I'll just say, perverted in believing that they are our superiors. This is why we have three levels of government. Our truest superiors in the government that is supposed to be the biggest government in our lives is our county government. And look at how well it survives on the little government that it is. Only because we've created monstrosity governments that tax the crap out of us to operate. And all the things that they're doing are not delegated to them. The Environmental Protection Agency, the Forest Department, all of the parks and recreations. Yeah, it's nice to have those things, but it needs to be done at the local level. You want to have a huge national park? Then we have to create an amendment to the Constitution to give the federal government that ability. But I say no. I say no. If a state wants to create a national park, then it's up to the state to do that. Because if a state like Wyoming and Yellowstone, they want people to come and, make money off of tourism, then let it be tourism. And let it be the state's choice and the county's choice. Let it be the people of that local area to decide, yeah, we want this. This is a great way of making money. But here's the real problem. People sometimes don't see the bigger picture in the local area. We have to be open, and we have to actually constantly challenge, what are we doing and how can we improve? With enlightenment, we can start seeing, can we actually have a national park and still be able to do things with this national park, in tandem, harmoniously, to where we don't, destroy the tourism and still are capable of harvesting timber, harvesting resources, and so forth. We'll be right back.
The reason progressives are effective in instituting their policies is because they are united ideologically, financially, and socially. In addition, almost every billionaire in the world is funding a vast array of different groups, and these groups' efforts are to undermine our republic and our Constitution. If you don't believe me, just Google Donors to the Open Society Foundations. The only way we're going to successfully combat these efforts and take back our liberties, like our education system, healthcare, state lands, housing, labor, and many other roles, responsibilities and powers that belong to the states, is by you and I and local businesses getting involved in supporting political programs and efforts based on constitutional principles. The best way to do this is supporting result-oriented organizations designed to take back our lost liberties. The ultimate result-oriented effort is Republic Review. So please consider contributing to the show and the organizations and activities that we are supporting by going to reclaimingtherepublic.org and go to the contribution page, and you can become a listed supporter of liberty. To become a citizen, one must take an oath to support and defend the Constitution. Those of us who are naturally born citizens are obligated and duty-bound to fulfill the same oath, even though we're not required to take it, because it is implied upon us at birth. This is why I cannot emphasize enough the importance in supporting businesses who are supporting our Constitution. We have to stop supporting businesses that have chosen to hide behind political correctness, and obviously we must stop supporting progressive businesses who are working to undermine our republic and our Constitution. Do not let businesses or organizations convince you that they are supporting the Constitution by supporting protests for social justice. By definition, social justice is the distribution of wealth, opportunities, and privileges within a society. In other words, they're calling for socialism, which is incompatible with individual liberty and individual sovereignty and our Constitution. With that, please consider supporting businesses who advertise on this show and this radio station. Don't forget, you can call our 24-hour comment line to ask a question or to speak on any topic. Dial 425-270-5416.
Okay, so we have to be cognizant. We have to constantly remember that if we just take everything as gospel truth and we embrace those things to reject other things, we make ourselves vulnerable to being manipulated and being basically a tool or a shill for somebody else's agenda. When we can actually prove with hardcore evidence of what we need to do, then you actually are, as we read in the Bible, we have to be rooted on the solid foundation, on the rock of the truth, the truthfulness of the gospel, the teachings of Christ. And so it's the same thing with our government. There's lots of people that have created all of these wacky, I'm saying really wacky ideas and arguments. And where are the people that are the reason why these things are growing, just running rickshaw through the Patriot movement, this sovereign citizen group, these assemblies, committees of safety, and the same thing with the Convention of States. The reason why these organizations are growing rapidly is because people are desperate. People recognize that what this government is doing is absolutely wrong. It is not based on, the common person's perspective of a limited government. But they don't know and they don't understand what and why and how. So somebody's got to do that. Somebody's got to stop entertaining. Somebody's got to stop the shuffle and, you know, the nice little sound bites that you can hear that everybody can duplicate on, you know, marking myself safe from, you know, Biden's classified documents. Those are all just sound bites and novelties. They have nothing to do with what we have to do and understanding the truth and rooting ourselves or basically bolting ourselves to this solid foundation of truth. We have everything we need. God gave us everything in the Constitution. When people come along and they say, in the Patriot movement, and they say disparaging remarks regarding that 14th Amendment, I ask anybody and everybody, please read the 14th Amendment. Read congressional debates. I have all of them. It's a lot of pages, but please read these things so that you can understand the argument for the 14th Amendment and the intent behind it. Anybody that tells you that the 14th Amendment subjugated you to this new form of citizenship, they're lying to you. It's not there. I challenge anybody to prove me, and I will apologize if the intent of the 14th Amendment was to subjugate the citizens of the United States. And I know I won't apologize. I think I've told you before that I love being right. And most kids, I mean, it's kind of an immature thing, right? You're having this real love to, I want to be right. I want to have the argument that wins. Well, it took me a long time to get to this point. And, you know, as a matter of fact, there were lots of times I don't want to say that I love being right, but I do really do enjoy having the truth and speaking the truth. And so I didn't monetize. I've not gone down this path of trying to exploit for my own benefit the truth. I was just a person that wanted the truth, and I don't mind sharing it. As a matter of fact, anybody and everybody that knows me knows that I'm not a charlatan. I am not a person, a carpetbagger. I'm not trying to come around and sell you the truth, you know, for a price. We have to start challenging. We have to start actually reaching out and helping people see what the truth really is. And it's right there in front of our face. The framers, you know, there's this, I think it's in Isaiah, where Isaiah talks about how the truth will come forth in the last days, that it'll be speaking from the dust. I am telling you, our framers are speaking from the dust on what is the real truth of our government and how it is so different than all other governments, and how it made America so great in what it is, and the way we can easily get back to that. And the only way we can get back to that and why it's so easy is because it was designed by the divine hand of providence, our creator. And in that design is a rock solid government and a rock solid argument that says that these are the only roles, these are the only powers, these are the only responsibilities, these are the only pieces of property that the general government can possess. We need to get our states into constitutions just like that. And we have all the power to do that. You know, what's interesting is the federal government basically made every state in the union create a constitution after the Civil War that said you were an inseparable part of the union. In other words, you can never secede. Well, what's to keep us from actually redoing our constitution and taking that out and see the federal government come down and say, oh, no, you don't have the authority to do that. You have to keep that in there. Then we turn around and so where did we give that right to you or that power or that responsibility to inflict inflict subjugation upon us, the sovereign state? Ah, it is with the truth that we are set free. And truly, that is a metaphor that fits what we're talking about. When we start understanding our constitutional republic and enumerated constitutions and delegating very defined roles, responsibilities, powers, and property, we can actually go back to our state and basically say we want to define the property that the state can possess. And so we need to look at, you know, what that is. But I'm telling you, we do need that state government to guard our resources to ensure that we don't become a Rhode Island. We need to make sure that there's some kind of plan that we can always feed ourselves and we can always be self-sufficient, because a sovereign state is not sovereign if it can't be self-sufficient. It is more secure and more sovereign the more self-sufficient it is. And all of the states were capable of feeding themselves. You go around the United States today and identify what states could feed themselves. I can tell you Massachusetts can't. I can tell you many of the eastern seaboard small states, they can't. I mean, you know, maybe the small ones like New Hampshire, possibly. But when it's all pavement and all businesses, they don't have any agricultural fields, woe unto them. And so when we look at, you know, these types of states, they've kind of turned themselves into the Singapore, the state of Singapore. Singapore grows no food, and it's completely dependent on the rest of the world. And it knows its lot, and it basically allows itself to do that by creating alliances and accords and subjugating itself to other states, which is why Singapore doesn't have a military. Folks, Singapore may be a very rich nation, but it is a nation that is not self-sufficient, nor is it truly a sovereign nation. It has some label of sovereignty, but its level of sovereignty is very, very low because of its dependency. And so we have to start understanding what it is that gives us this independence. And then we have to start actually moving ourselves back towards using the beautiful thing we call the Constitution for the United States, that original Constitution and its amendments, all 28 amendments. None of them, as far as I'm concerned, are, you know, game changers that destroy us. None of them. Even the 17th Amendment, as many people complain about the 17th Amendment, that does not take away the state's sovereignty. It does not take away the state's ability to step in. Show me in that 17th Amendment how the states can't interpose and can't force the federal government into compliance. It does some bad, it twists and perverts our Republican form of government, but that's it. It's the same thing with the 16th Amendment. None of the amendments are really that bad. They've been redefined, and those redefinitions and those re-innovations and twists that people have put upon those amendments as they've enacted new laws and powers based on these unsubstantiated or invalid twists that they've created, that's where the problem lies. But as we get back to the actual nuts and bolts and living by the actual framework of the Constitution, the federal government loses all of its powers that are unconstitutional, and it maintains all of the powers that it constitutionally needs that is necessary to feed and support this union and allow this union. It basically untethers, because as they've created all these controls, as they created this power of the EPA, the power of the USDA or the Agricultural Department, and, you know, the food and all of these things, all the powers, mineral and energy, they come with strings, and they're the ones that have actually moved us and confined us more, to control us more, to subjugate us more. They have been working, and the only way they could successfully do this is to collude. Yeah, of course, they've been colluding with corporations and banks to basically subjugate and finally get to a point to get rid of that Constitution. That's why we're here. This is why I go over this. So I'm labeling for the annals or for my, you know, podcast page that these two shows are going over the importance of the now or never slogan that I always start these shows off with. It is now or never. we start waking up and we start actually asserting our enumerated rights and our and the few enumerated powers that government can do and everything else they can't, then we start winning. We'll be right back after these two promos.
If you run a business or an organization, you already know email is an essential tool for communicating. If you're interested in reducing your overhead and increasing your productivity, I personally recommend you look into AdLocal email marketing services. AdLocal has a special offer for my listeners with email services that start at $10 a month for your first 1,000 addresses. If you want to increase customer retention, grow your market presence, track your statistics, and improve your engagement with your customers with modern, elegant emails that express the personality of your business with emails that integrate with your website, you need to contact AdLocal, and they handle the rest. Take it from me. AdLocal offers the best solutions for all organization sizes, and they lead with their pricing and their 24-hour customer service. Folks, it's time to call AdLocal at 866-88-ADLOCAL or visit them on the web at www.adlocal.com.
To set the record straight, Republic Review is neither an Article 5 convention nor a convention of states. In accordance with Article 5 of the Constitution, this convention requires 2/3 of the states to apply to Congress to convene a convention with the intent to amend the Constitution. This convention is unable to solve our real problem, which is non-compliance to the Constitution, and would be dangerous to convene at this time. In contrast, Republic Review is the process of the states exerting its constitutional authority over the Constitution. An audit does not require an application to Congress. This authority is inherent to principal stakeholders of a contract. Why do we need Republic Review? Because this is the only way the states can deal with the federal encroachments into roles, responsibilities, and powers that belong to the states. To learn more about Republic Review, please go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to read my content and my model on the audit and Republic Review process.
As a reminder, if you have any questions or comments, we have a 24-hour comment line, 425-270-5416.
Okay, so when we start actually understanding and we can start asserting the powers that we really do possess, that we've been, and I'm telling you folks, we have been blessed with these powers of liberty and this defined government that only has very defined roles, responsibilities, and powers. When we start helping people understand this, the chains of the lies that they believe in, even in the Patriot movement, because the Patriots don't understand the Constitution, and the reason that these lies, that these separatists, these sovereign citizen movements, the assemblies, committees of safety, all these other things, they are not exposing the detailed truth so that they can, because why? It would expose the fact that they're selling you that they believe themselves in the illegitimacy of the things that the federal government is doing. If you understand that, then you can understand that we cannot believe the lies. And if we don't believe the lies, then we have every chance, we have every opportunity of winning. Stop believing the lies. The courts do not have the final say. Well, the court system that we have does not have the final say. The law has the final say. The compact, the contract has the final say. And the common law juries and the common law grand juries are the only things that actually come out and say, and that common law grand jury, when it comes to the federal government, of whether they're violating the Constitution or not, because bottom line, Republic Review is the common law grand jury, where each state becomes a jury, a jurist, as well as a judge, as well as an enforcer. It becomes the tribunal. This is why we go through, and this is why it is so important that this video that we have, and hopefully by now it's already up, I don't know yet, But this video that I'll be talking about more tomorrow, because, and I've gone through this on my radio show. I go through this every year. I don't go through it every day, though. I try to cover different material. I try to walk. I'm going circles and circles around the woodshed here. And this is a huge woodshed, and it takes me about a year to walk around this thing. And even every year, I still can't get everything in. I have to drop some things off. This year, I didn't go through the Toriacs on January 2nd. I kind of covered them in brief because I couldn't go through all of them, and I did read a little bit, but we need to read all of these documents, and it helps us. When you start understanding that, you know, you got to fight a war, well, you got to get your bullets, you got to get your... And we don't understand that you just can't go to the grocery store and buy your education, right? And then, okay, now I have everything. It's like bullets, right? And I'm going to use a bullet as the metaphor instead of sandbags. Because, you know, sandbags is a defensive measure, right? You fill the sandbags to defend yourself. And education, you need to have education to defend yourself. But you also need to have education to attack, to win ground. And so now I'm going to add the metaphor of bullets. If you ever do and basically refill your own bullets or what have you, you know, you can take your shells and you can actually put, you know, and I'm just going to speak to my ignorance of the process of bullet refilling and all of that, reloaders. That, you know, what does it take to do all of that? Well, it's not just one thing that, boom, you're done. It takes a little time. You have to, you know, get that the shell sitting onto the reloader. You've got to get, I believe, you have to, you know, fix the bottom of the shell so that, you know, when the firing pin hits the bottom of it, it'll do the little flash point at the base of the shell. I don't know the nomenclature for this, and so I need to learn these things. Because now I can actually walk through this to show you what the steps are that it takes to building one bullet. So if you're going to fight a war, how many bullets do you need? You can't presume that we can just go buy all of our bullets. As a matter of fact, everybody knows that the government has been playing shenanigans in trying to reduce the amount of bullets that are available. I have a friend that has a .38 special. Go look around and tell me where you can find .38 special ammo. Now, that's a common law enforcement, you know, ammo. But why is it that they're not making it available to the people anymore? You know, 9mm, there are certain ones that are still kind of available just because of that massly use. But the reducing and taking away the bullets, because they know as you go out and you do your firing, you do your familiarization, because you need to do that. You need to do the training on a regular basis. In the Marine Corps, every year you had to qualify. You had to prove that you could still fire that gun and that you still had that level of skill in firing that gun. Now, the Marine Corps is really, really good at teaching people how to fire guns because, you know, when you look at the, you know, some of the most significant successful gunshots and gun kills and so forth, you know, they come from the Marine Corps, and it's not like, you know, well, we have snipers and those types of things. And I would think that any military that has sniper school, yeah. But when you look at Oswald, who's the guy in the bell tower? And, you know, who's a Marine that killed those people with the single shots, single action, you know, gun? And the point is that every single bullet that gets fired has to be put together, and it takes time to do that. So we can't necessarily go fight a war without our bullets, and understanding the truth is a step. Every little piece of truth is a step to creating that bullet, and every, you know, body and argument that we go through on this show academically helps you create the magazines that you need to actually project power, because you can't go out and fight a war with a musket unless everybody else has muskets, then you can fight at that. But if everybody else has auto refeeding and the, you know, these automatic weapons, then the people with muskets will be destroyed quickly. So we have, because now they can project more power because they have more. And the more power that we have, you know, Sun Tzu, actually, I think it was Mao that said, power comes from the barrel of a gun. that's the same thing in what we're talking about. For us to have power as an organization, we need to have as much ammo as we possibly can, which is why when we look at this, and now I'm kind of connecting something to why we're going through the strategy, and why the strategy of all of these little issues of constitutional violations is important. Why? Because each of them is a bullet. Each of them is a strike. Each of them is a point of attack of how they are vulnerable because they're violating the Constitution on this point. Martin Luther found 95 points to attack the church, and he did it, and it took him 10 years to do it. I believe we can do it in less time. All we've got to do is have, because if you're irrefutable, if your bullet is irrefutable, your argument on how they're violating the Constitution becomes irrefutable, and you've got 50 arguments, now you can go out there, boom, and do these multiple shots. It's nice to have the 95, but nobody can get their arms around it, and especially when nobody had the truth. But what we're doing in each of these arguments is we're actually giving you the full body of what Martin Luther gave. In other words, Martin Luther had to put the Bible in everybody's hands to prove that what he was saying was true. We're actually cutting and pasting and putting what the framers actually said, how they defined this part of the Constitution, so that each of these petitions is a full-loaded bullet. That's how we need to build these petitions, so that they clearly point out what the public servant is doing and what needs to be done and what they have to do to fix it. Now that we've created these arguments, now we can actually start holding their feet to the fire. This whole war is not about killing people. It's being able to help public servants understand that we have all the power and authority to hold them accountable. That God gave us this system to do this. This again shows the DNA of its source. Who else would have thought how brilliantly that they would have designed this? This surpasses the depth and cognitive abilities of a human that I know, that lived and have ever lived. Because as I look at this, it's almost like, you know, these more discoveries that come forth as I start understanding the Constitution, especially in details and ways that we have in this age abilities to understand things, because our education and our exposure to all sorts of information is so massive. I mean, let's talk about the framers and how smart they were. Did they understand combustion engines? No. Did they understand biology or chemistry? It was very rudimentary. Everything that they had, this is why, you know, when I tell people that they need to read these books, The Wealth of Nations, Democracy in America, all of these other source books, they shy away from them because they think they're really heady. These people didn't have advanced understanding that we have today. I mean, really heady today is really out there. Anyway, folks, it's all about holding government accountable. It's now or never. I'm G.R. Mobley. We're Reclaiming the Republic, and we need your help. God bless.
Reclaiming the Republic is more than an educational radio show. My intent is to also work with you and local leadership to promote matters of the Constitution and self-governance. This way we can all promote constitutional awareness within our communities and with our elected officials and public leaders. If you love liberty and sovereignty and recognize the federal tyranny that is threatening our lives, then we are asking for your help. And here are a few ways you can help. Spread the word about this radio show, Reclaiming the Republic. It is the only radio show in in the world asserting a constitutional solution to federal overreach. Download and share our podcast and content. Read, like, follow, and share our Mobius Strip Press and Reclaiming the Republic pages on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter at Mobius Strip News. Get informed about local groups in the area and get involved. Most importantly, become a constitutional warrior with your local leaders and demand that they begin applying constitutional tests to what they are doing and who they are supporting. Thank you.